I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 4:2. Since we have such hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not see the end of the fading splendor. But their minds were hardened, for to this day, when they read the old covenant, that same veil remains unlifted, because only through Christ is it taken away. Yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this reason comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. We have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. May the Lord bless the reading of His word.
Thank you, John. It's an interesting letter that Paul has written, because he refers to Moses. And for those of us who have read Exodus, it says a lot. And it's not just Exodus, by the way. There are two other books that you could read that tell you about Moses, Numbers and Deuteronomy. But Exodus is usually the one we go to when we look for information about Moses. If you have had the experience, do you remember the day your eyes were opened and you saw God in your heart? Do you remember that connection? Because that's really what we're looking at, connection. For me, it was a day of rejoicing. I was 17 and I knew God was calling me. I felt excited, rejoicing in His light, in His calling. Friends and family said they could see a change in me. They could see peace and contentment in me that was not there before. For those of us who have felt that joy, why would we want to cover it up? Why would anyone not want people to see the change that God has made in their lives? Truth is, if God has in fact made a change in our lives, we can't hide it. And that's what Paul is talking about. I like the story of three prospectors who found a rich vein of gold in California during the gold rush days. They realized what a great discovery they had, and they decided, we've really got a good thing going here as long as no one else finds out about it. So they each took an oath to keep it a secret. Then they headed for town to file their claims and get the equipment necessary to mine the gold. True to their vows, they didn't say a word to anybody. They filed their claim, bought the equipment, and headed back to their mine. But when they did, a crowd of people followed them. And the reason was because the expression on their faces had given them away. Their faces were aglow in anticipation of the wealth that soon would be theirs. People knew they must have found something very special, so a crowd followed them out of town. That's the way it is with God. That's what Paul is telling us, is once we make that connection with our Lord, There is no hiding it. It is evident in everything we do and say. For those who may be wondering what Paul is referring to in terms of Moses, here's the passage from Exodus. Exodus 34, 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. And when Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he gave them in commandment all the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses shone. And Moses would put the veil upon his face again because they were scared until he went in to speak with the Lord again. Now, why would Moses do that? Why did he put the veil? Yes, we can read that the people were scared when they saw his face shining, but if you make that connection with God and your face is shining, are you really going to want to hide that? Paul says, no, don't be like Moses. Let your light shine. Let people see that connection. Here's the deal. Moses couldn't hide it. He was connected to God, but the people of Israel were not. Therefore, the people of Israel who did not have the light of God in them could not fathom what it was like for Moses to have that light, to have that connection. Hence, they were scared. But let us say we are connected to God. What then? If you're connected, what is the evidence of that connection? What does Paul tell us is evidence of making that connection? Not just the light in your eyes, not just that your face shines. Paul tells us this. First and foremost, he says, we will be changed. Change will be the evidence. There's a word for you. There's a word for you. Change. Logical question is, in what way? Well, not just by having God's light shine on our faces, but by, let us spend some time on this, change. In what ways have you changed since you became a Christian? That is, in what way or ways have you changed since you yourself took a vow to follow the Lord? Do you speak differently? If you were one who used curse words, did you stop the day you were committed to the Lord? If you were a rude, sarcastic person, did you become a kind, loving person who no longer hurt people's feelings by using rudeness or sarcasm? If you were an uninvolved person, that is, uninvolved in church ministries and events, did you become involved? If you were a person who gossiped and undermined people, did you stop gossiping and become a supporter and encourager of others? In what ways were you changed? Paul gives this example of change. By renouncing disgraceful, underhanded ways, by refusing to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. Change doesn't mean that we just attend church, that we just read God's word, or that we just memorize God's word. I've met many people say, oh, I can quote scripture right out of my head. I know it. I've learned scripture. I can quote it. I can even tell you the books of the Bible in order. That's all they do. That's static living. We may attend but not live the Christian life. We may read Scripture but not understand how to live it. And we may memorize Scripture but not incorporate it in our lives. God does not call us to be static. God's Word calls us to be vibrant, proactive, pro-God. When you hear people say, "I've been a member of my church for 60 years, oftentimes that is exactly what they mean, a member. But what if they say, "I've been an active member of my church for 60 years, and I've participated in its ministries throughout my life, not just in church, but in the community, at work, and at home"? In other words, if we talk the talk and walk the walk, we will be living God's love by setting an example of how God loves. That is, we will love others. And when we take God's word of love into the world, when we share it with others, we will see the light of God, not only in our own faces, but in others. And then we will understand what shine was on Moses' face. What was it that made it shine? That he had that connection, that he made the change, and that he was living God's word. Living. He could quote it. He had tablets and tell people about it, but he changed his life. And that's what we read about. That's what we know. And if we find that we just cannot share God's love for everyone, we may find ourselves in this situation. In a stately church, a noticeably untidy man visited the church for the first time. He was met by one of the smartly dressed ushers, who immediately ushered him to a back pew so his unkempt appearance and foul odor would not upset the decorum of the church. Another first-time visitor stood in the foyer. He was neatly groomed and made a striking appearance in his dark pinstripe suit. One of the ushers strode proudly down the aisle with him and seated him at the front of the church. Following the service, the moderator of the congregation invited the man to dinner at his home. As they were seated around the table, the food was passed. The visitor helped himself to the delicious-looking potatoes, placing them on his plate. But then he did a strange thing. He scooped the potatoes into his suit coat pocket. The family watched as he proceeded to do the same with the carrots and the meat. Unable to keep silent any longer, the father asked, "Why are you pouring the food into your coat pocket?" The visitor smiled and answered politely, "Judging from where you seated the visitor who came in before me, I gather you invited my suit to lunch, so I'm feeding it." Oftentimes, we don't see the person, we see what they're wearing. That's how we determine who they are. And what Paul says is, you won't do that anymore once you're connected and you change. You're going to see people as God's creation. You're going to see people as God's children. Paul reminds us that we are to remove the veil. Let people see God's love in our faces, in our hearts, and in our very souls. We are to see everyone, hear my words, everyone the same. And when we do that, we will be the very light our Lord calls us to be. The very light he told us not to hide. We will bring light to the world. Remember what Jesus said? Don't take your light and hide it under the bed. Don't put that veil. Don't do it. Shine. Let people see who you really are. Let people know that you're connected to God, that God has changed your life, that you are full of the love of our Lord. The eyes of the heart will no longer be covered. Living the love of Christ is what we are called to do. Paul says, when a man turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being changed into His likeness from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Let us sum up what Paul says. Let your light shine. Let it shine today and every day as God lives in you. Let people see where God lives. Live the love of Christ. Live as though everyone around you is your brother and sister. And remember, everyone was created by God. We're all God's children. So when we go henceforth, may we remember as we walk out that door that it's not just the people sitting in here with us that are our brothers and sisters. It's everyone out there in the world. And that's where love is to be taken, from this sanctuary to that community and to the world beyond. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you this day, we know that oftentimes we do not show your love. We do put a veil over our face and we try to hide from others. Why? We don't always understand. Perhaps we're afraid we'll be taken advantage of. Perhaps we're just embarrassed. We pray that is not the case. Lord, let our light shine. Let us be your children in such a way that others notice, they see us as an example, and they want to follow the light that you have put on earth. For we ask this in your Son's name, the great light. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.